If I were to ask you to tell me in one or two or maybe three sentences the meaning of your life, indeed perhaps the meaning of all human life, how much time would you need to prepare an answer? Or if you were at a dinner party and the host for a party game passed out slips of paper and said, "Now take a few minutes, write a paragraph about the meaning of who you are and why you are here, and then we'll share them with each other and see if we can guess who wrote which paragraph. Would you be ready to write that paragraph?" I ask you that question because this past week I came across one such description in a magazine I was reading. The words were written by a Canadian man on the occasion of his 90th birthday. And as he reflected on all the years he had lived and on the meaning of his life and more generally on the meaning of human life, this is what he wrote or he said. "I'm not the one who's the king of the world, and I'm certainly not God. I'm just somebody who was born 90 years ago and will die in a few years' time, and then everybody will have forgotten me. This is reality. We're all here, but we are just local people, passengers on a journey. We get into the train, we get out of the train goes on. The life of the world goes on. We're passengers on a journey," he seems to be saying. "We get on for a little bit, and then we're off." And the words that hit me the most, "and everybody will have forgotten." As I read those words, my first reaction was, really, that sounds a little, maybe not pessimistic, but not hopeful enough about the meaning and impact of our lives. And indeed, we know that any individual life and the choices that any individual make can have a significant impact on this world and on the lives of others. And how sadly we were reminded of that yesterday as the choices of one person filled with the hatred of anti-Semitism once again brought tragedy to a community, this time a Jewish community of faith. One person's life, one person's choices, devastating 11 other lives, 11 families, and again sending tremors through our national life. Lives can have profound impact. And one of the reasons that this particular description by this 90-year-old Canadian struck me was because it sounded like he was, if anything, being falsely modest. They were written by a man named Jean Vanier, who was born in Canada in 1928. He went through some different interests and careers as he became an adult, until in 1964, he met some persons with profound developmental disabilities. And he began to see the number of human beings who had been institutionalized by their mental or physical handicaps. And along with a friend who was a priest, he decided to do something about that. They invited two other individuals with disabilities to come and live in community with them and formed the first community of what became known as L'Arche, or the Ark. French communities initially, but now in over 50 nations throughout the world, where individuals who sense a call to live with people who have disabilities live in community with them, one on one, in full relationship with them. Vanier's life has had a profound impact on the lives of others. And I have a sense that at least in the hearts of those persons who have been in those communities, he is not or will not be forgotten. People who otherwise might have been left behind or put behind walls of institutions or, metaphorically speaking, left on the side of the road. This morning in our gospel lesson, we meet someone who is sitting on the side of the road. Unlike many of the people we encounter in the Gospels, this one has a name. He is Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. And again, Mark gives us a concise description, a blind beggar. He is sitting by the side of the road as Jesus and his disciples are leaving Jericho. We don't know how long he has been sitting on that roadside, but given that he is a beggar, my guess is he has been there many days before that, perhaps years, and will be in the future as well. And given that the road from Jericho on which Jesus was walking was the road up to Jerusalem, a well-traveled road, no doubt many, many people have passed Bartimaeus by. But something happens this day. Bartimaeus discerns that it is Jesus of Nazareth who is passing by. And realizing that, these words spring up from his heart, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, people who have been left behind, or have been kept behind walls or borders, are often told to stay in their place, and are put in their place. And so it is with Bartimaeus. Many, we don't know if it was the disciples or just peoples in the crowd, ordered him to be quiet. "Stay in your place." But he cried out more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stands still, takes notice, and says, "Call him here." And so, again, we don't know if it is members of the crowd or the disciples. They call out to him. And if there are no other words from today's sermon that you remember for the rest of this week, I hope you will remember these, the words that were spoken to Bartimaeus. "Take heart. Get up. He is calling you." Take heart. Get up. He is calling you. And throwing off his beggar's cloak, Bartimaeus sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This man who was shunned by the world, a man healed so he could see, a man who begins a new journey, not just a passenger on a train, but a pilgrim on the way, on the way. Take heart, get up. Jesus is calling you. That is the invitation each of us hears today. We may not be beggars. We may not be blind. But each of us is invited by Jesus to take heart and to recognize that we are called to be in the world as followers of his way, as those who have an ability to see the world as it should be, as it could be, a world where every life is of equal worth, and where the poor and the disabled can teach the rich and able about the true meaning of what it means to be alive. He is calling you. He called Jean Vanier. Vanier grew up expecting that he would have a service in the Navy of Canada, and indeed was beginning to move up the ranks when he felt a call to something different and went into academia, but then describes what he experienced as a strong inner spiritual calling to do something else. And that led to his encounter with the disabled, with the poor, with the teachers in his life. He was called and he responded. I am inviting us this week to take these words of the crowd of the disciples and to live with them for a week. I said that we may not be blind and we may not be beggars, but the reality is that each of us has places in our lives where we cannot see. It may be that we cannot fully see the pain of the world around us because we are fearful that we cannot respond adequately. It may be that we cannot see the particular gifts that God has given to each of us to be healers, to be teachers, to be prophets, to be servants. Or we may have every monetary resource in the world, but still feel impoverished, thinking that somehow who we are is not enough in the eyes of the world. And frankly, here in this season of stewardship at St. John's, maybe you feel there simply is not enough, either of your monetary resources or of your time or of your talents, that you could give that would make a difference in the life of this community. Well, if any of those things are true for you, then listen again. Take heart, get up. He's calling you. And when Jesus then says to us, "What do you want me to do for you?" He is not some ancient Santa Claus asking for our wish list of the possessions that will make our life better. Instead, he is plumbing the depths of our hearts and asking us, "What is it truly that will make your life meaningful and whole? What is your deep desire buried beneath all the superficial desires that the world has taught you are important? What do you want me to do for you that will make you truly alive?" And if we dare to discern the answer to that question, we might just find ourselves drawn from the side of the road onto pilgrimages of faith we could never have imagined for ourselves. As individuals, as a community, maybe even as a nation. For I do not think I am alone in feeling that at this moment in our national life there is much to despair about. Has our language of civil discourse become so impoverished that we are made mute? Or have we become so blinded to the virtues of compassion and kindness and reconciliation and justice that we can't really see a way forward? I know that yesterday afternoon when I first heard the news of the shootings in the synagogue in Pittsburgh, I was filled with that kind of despair. Once again, the mad violence, the profound grief, the arguments over what to do to prevent the next massacre. And then I heard these words, "Take heart, get up. I am calling you. Jesus Christ is calling me to respond. And by his grace and guidance, I will be able to do so. I cannot see how to solve the problem. But that is not what I am asked to do. But I can bear witness to the way of Christ in this world." Jean Vanier knew that his approach to living with the disabled would not solve all the issues of discrimination and impoverishment for that community. But in his own organization's charter, it says this: "We seek to offer not a solution, but a sign." A sign. And I think what he means by that is a sign of the kingdom, a sign of the reality that it's always breaking through into our lives, even as it broke through into the life of Bartimaeus that day long ago in Jericho. So I invite us again to take these words with us this week. Take heart. Get up. He's calling you. And consider how each of us can be a sign of God's healing and reconciling love in a world so desperately in need of it. Amen.